The tunnel only went on for a short distance, opening up into a wide chamber, a pit, and with a larger chamber up above, one that glowed from an unseen light source. The climb was easy enough for Jaravial with his wings, and he went up without question, then sat there on the ledge over his two companions, staring into the larger chamber, his mouth hanging open.
What is it?
Jaravial?
It was worth the trouble!
Jaravial motioned for them to climb up and join him. The wall was nearly 50 feet high, but it was of broken stone. Kazira barely ran up it, and Agilbrin wasn't far behind, and as each crested the larger room's floor, each assumed an expression as dumbfounded as that worn by Belimar Jaravial. There, spread before them, were mounds of treasure. Gold and silver coins and glittering gemstones, pieces of armor and furniture, sculptures, and dozens of metallic weapons.
So, we know what happened to the Powrys.
But more importantly, what happened to the one who assembled this hoard?
Jaravial motioned to the side of the largest mound of gold and silver, to a single curving white rib bone, a gigantic bone that even a tall human could walk under without ducking.
And so the worm is dead, and its treasure lies unguarded.
And so one of the worms is dead.
The pile of gold and silver shifted and broke apart. From within came the dread worm, the great dragon, its scales all red and gold, its horns taller than a tall man, its blazing eyes slitted like those of a cat, and with wisps of smoke coming forth from its great nostrils. Three sets of eyes went wide with surprise and horror. Three mouths dropped open in simple awe at the most magnificent beast.
Welcome, thieves!
Not so!
Jaravial stopped his sentence and started his legs, leaping aside as a great foreleg came swatting down at him. Kazira leapt in near to that foreleg and whipped her wooden club about hard, smacking it against the scaly limb. She might as well have smashed it against the side of a rocky mountain.
Run away!
The three scattered, diving about the treasure mounds, using them for cover from the beast. The dragon thrashed its tail, sending a fountain of coins, gems, and trinkets flying about the room, showering poor Brynn. Brynn turned, fearing the worm would be upon her, but the dragon had gone the other way, in pursuit of Kazira. Dokalfar cut around one pile of coins, the dragon lowered its head, plowed right through. Apparently anticipating the move, Kazira came right back out the other side, scaling another nearby pile and rolling right over the top.
Good! Make me work for my meal, that I might enjoy it all the more.
In her worst nightmares, Brendariel had never imagined anything as powerful and monstrous as the dragon. It seemed as if it could kill her with its voice alone, and every time it spouted a word, a bit of flame came out. All that Brynn could think of was running away, diving back down the pit and rushing back across the fiery lake. Despite the plight of her two companions, the young ranger actually started on that very course, until something else caught her eye. A specter hovered by the pile of weapons over which she had just tripped. The ghost of a man. A Togairu.
Emmendal.
The specter lifted a translucent arm, pointing to the side, and Brynn felt a command, one that she could not ignore.
You will die!
Brynn rushed out to the side, toward a mound of assorted treasures, following the specter's command. She reached the pile and began digging, having no idea what she might be looking to find. She had not taken a moment to consider any of this. She just dug and dug, tossing aside goblets and jewelry, strangely shaped coins stamped with a dwarven face, and even a helm and short sword, and then another sword. Then almost threw that second one until she felt a wave of comprehension as her hand closed about its fashioned golden hilt, beautiful in design. It was formed into a sculpture of an elf dancing, her arms outstretched as she twirled, forming the crosspiece, and her head, fashioned of a light red ruby, serving as the joint between the slender blade and the pommel. The blade was no less magnificent, razor thin, with delicate carvings running the length of the flat sides. It wobbled as Bryn flicked her wrist, but despite that, the woman could sense its immense strength. Understanding the truth of the sword, a ranger sword, Bryn looked back to the ghost, but the specter was gone.